We are back, and wait till you hear this one. That's the title of a new book, just came out a couple of weeks ago by Patricia Estep O'Neill. And may I call you Pat?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, is that what everybody calls you?
That's what everybody calls me.
All right, well, that's what I'm going to call
you. My friends call me that,
yes. Well, good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here.
Yes, I'm glad I got to be on the show.
This isn't your first book. This is actually your second book.
It's my second book, but I call this my first professional book.
Okay, so you had an amateur book.
Yes.
That you practiced on.
That I practiced on, you're right.
Actually, it was sort of a historical perspective of your family, the first book, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I wanted the genealogy and the background history of my entire family.
I love the title of the first one. I love the title of the second one. Room at the Foot of the Bed was the first one. I love that. That's great.
Well, I wasn't sure everybody would understand what I meant by that, but obviously you do understand what I'm talking about.
You had a whole bunch of siblings.
Siblings, and we often slept at the foot of the bed.
Yeah. How many did you have?
Well, actually, my mother had 13, but she raised 9.
Okay. Where did the other ones go?
The other ones?
Yeah. She had 13 and she raised 9.
Well,
deficit of 4.
Well, the others died.
Oh, they died? You mean?
Yes, they died,
at
yes.
At birth or?
3 of them at birth. My brother was killed in World War II. And then I had a sister that died when she was 2 years old.
How many of them are still living?
Right now, there are 5 of us.
Really?
Yes,
well, that's
5
quite,
of us.
That's quite a bit.
And I'm the youngest girl.
You have a great sense of humor, obviously. And so what you did with this second book, the one that we're talking about today, and we'll tell you how you can get a copy of it, is you came up with 100 stories.
Well, I've got more if you'd like to read
them, too. That's a lot of stories. I don't think I could come up with 100 stories.
Sure you can.
You think? How did you do that? Tell me how that came to be.
Well, actually, after I did the genealogy history book, I would just think of something that happened when I was a child. My family always laughed and talked about things, and we reminisced often, mm-hmm. so you don't forget the old stories. Mm-hmm. And one by one, I'd remember something, so I'd run to my computer and I'd type it out.
Good and, for you. That's a great way to do it.
Well, a little by little, I had a lot of stories, and I had the encouragement from people who were reading them saying, you need to write a book. So I put myself to work and gathered them all up and had 99 stories, and I said, need one more.
Sure.
So I found that.
So you made one up.
No, I didn't have to. You know, when you come from a very large family, you don't have to make up stories. The true stories are better than the fiction stories.
My wife has 14 siblings, and she has, ever since I've known her, has wanted to write a book. So I'm going to tell her what you said
exactly.
And how you did yours, and that's a good way to start. How long did it take you to compile 100 stories?
Well, it didn't take too long, but because I had the family history stories, you see, and I could go back to them and rewrite some of them. And little by little, I just remembered things, and I would write it down and create a story out of it.
And is there a favorite story in the book?
About 100.
Yeah, but is there one favorite? Not really?
I think there is a favorite for a lot of people, because it was something I did that was crazy. And
can you tell us a little about it, just so people get the idea?
Okay, all right, then I will tell you. I was driving down I-75, and I was running late to meet my friend, and so I was following this big white tractor-trailer truck, and I knew the ramp was coming up pretty shortly, so I didn't want to go around him, and I couldn't see the sign, so he took the ramp. And when he did, I followed him, and I followed him into the weigh station. So he was enjoying that because I couldn't get out. I had to stay behind him, and then another truck came along and got behind me.
So you were wedged in there.
I was wedged in, and they were both enjoying my dilemma so much that I was just miserable. I said I could count the pearly white teeth on the driver in the first truck because I could see his face in these mirrors.
In his mirror. Oh, that's funny.
And the one behind me, I said his, the hood of his truck was shaking. He was laughing so much. And I was miserable.
What happens in a situation like that? Because I've never thought about that.
Well, you just sit there and wait your turn.
And then when you get up there, are they laughing at you?
Well, I said, how long does it take to do whatever it is they do in these way stations? I want out of here. So when I got out, I said, I went around that truck like I was on a NASCAR racetrack. And I tried to outrun him, in other words, and I did. I managed to get away from him.
Oh, that's so funny. That is so funny. So that's kind of stories we've got in the book, and I'm sure they go back to childhood too, right?
Oh, lots of childhood, and I go back as far as the Civil War because my grandfather and my great-grandmother had experiences during the Civil War, so I was able to tell about them through the stories that my mother told me. And my mother lived to be 101.
Wow, really?
See, I started getting this information from my mother when she was about 94 because she was the last of her siblings, which were 13 as well. 13 was the happy number in the descendancies, you know.
That's when you quit. Huh?
That's when you quit, or menopause sets in happened. So, anyway.
Or you lose interest in one of those,
So, I said, I've got to get all of this information from my mother. So I got a lot of the stories from her. And I said, she doesn't have long to go. She's 94. Well, I was still getting stories from her 7 years later.
Wow, that's great. So, but isn't that wonderful? I mean, I think people really need to think about that because when you lose a loved one, if you just sometimes you lose so much of your history.
Yes, you do.
And my friend Paul Prather, who is a regularly featured columnist in Sunday's Lexington Herald Leader, spiritual columnist, did a piece either a week or two ago. He was talking about Thanksgiving and how we keep our relatives alive that way. He had made a comment that he was sorry that so many people around the table didn't know his mother or his grandmother or somebody, and his granddaughter said, I know her through the stories you've told. And it's really a way to keep somebody's memory alive.
And that's exactly what I am doing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's wonderful. I just think more and more people ought to do that, whether they do it commercially, as you've done, to sell books or just to have a family history to pass down.
I do, and some of my stories even are about World War II. Now, I was a little girl during World War II. That is probably one of my best stories because my brother was killed during that war. And
older brother.
My
right?
older brother, of course, And so I write about, we lived near Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which was the city behind the fence where the Manhattan Project was taking place. Mm-hmm. And we had blackouts just like they had in Europe, you know, during the war. And the movies, I go by the movies because that's all I have to go by.
Right.
And I said it was a very scary time. So you will find that story about the war years very interesting. And I'm telling them from a child's perspective.
Yeah. Yes. How did you find out about your brother's death?
Well, I remember it. We didn't have telephone, and next door, the lady let us use her phone for emergencies, and about midnight, she came over, knocked on the door, and told my dad, you've got a phone call. Well, the phone call was coming from South Dakota, which they're a few hours behind us, and of course, they didn't realize it was after midnight when they were calling, and the commanding officer had called to tell my dad that my brother had been killed in a plane crash, which was at the Air Force Base, and there were 10 men on the plane, and 6 were killed. He was killed instantly. In fact, they couldn't find any sign of his body for 2 days, and they considered him AWOL. But the interesting part about this story is we didn't know what caused the crash or anything. So 55 years later, the son of one of those men killed wanted to do some research, and he found a young man in New Jersey who researched airplane crashes. We all ended up, there were eight of us, we ended up in South Dakota. They were having an air show and everything, and we became the VIPs at a breakfast and all. And we went out to the airstrip, and we were shown where the plane crashed. It had they had tried to abort the flight because there was so much ammunition and fuel on the plane that it couldn't lift off the ground. So when the pilot tried to abort the plane, went across the field, and he didn't see the pond, went over the pond and crashed into a bank and exploded immediately. But the thing about that trip was the young researcher had brought his metal detector with him, and he had the garbage bags, and they went out to the spot where the plane had crashed. He came up with melted metal, scraps of metal, and spent bullet that had the date 1942 on them.
Wow.
And he gave me samples of those to bring home. And I said I was just amazed that it had been 55 years and they could find the remains of that airplane. Wow. Still there.
How many of your siblings went? Do you remember?
I was the only one.
You're the only one.
And it was 3 weeks after my mother died, and I wasn't able to tell her about the trip and what really happened in the plane crash.
Wow. Do you have any Christmas stories?
Oh, yes.
Do you have a favorite one that you can tell us? Because we're just okay. A little over a week away.
Well, okay. My mother always made me go to the neighbors and take plates. She knew they wouldn't be having Christmas. But my sister that was 2 years older than me, we were just kids. We were the ones still getting Santa Claus, you know. And my mother and my sisters would go shopping. And we were so anxious to see what was in all those packages under the tree that we would open them on the ends. You know, they used seals back then.
Yeah.
And we'd pull those seals off and slide the box out, check out what the gift was, slide the box back in and use a new seal. And Christmas morning, we knew every gift that
You'd
was under the
it.
Tree.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. And you guys had a tradition with Santa. I have a particular interest in this subject, you see. So you guys believed in Santa Claus.
Oh, yes, yeah. We believed in Santa Claus. Yeah. In fact, I have a wonderful story about my daughter and son having Christmas early, because we always went home for Christmas, and we couldn't take all of those toys with us. So they didn't know the difference that it wasn't Christmas Eve.
Right.
And the next day, my neighbor, who played Santa Claus at the shopping center, I saw him coming up the back sidewalk. Well, they'd already opened their toys and everything. Santa had already been there. And I'm waving my hand to my husband to say, stop him. He's already been here.
He's gone. He shouldn't
yeah.
be here.
Yeah,
oh,
so,
that's too funny.
Yeah, so
that
he
is...
came in, and when he walked into the living room and they were playing in the floor, you can't imagine the look on their faces. And this man looked as much like Santa Claus as any I've ever seen.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he sat them on his knee and asked them, did you like the Tonka toy? Did you like the little showboat that I brought you?
Oh, that's
their
wonderful.
Eyes were bigger than saucers, and it was the most exciting thing for them, and they've never forgotten that Christmas.
That's great. Have you heard the expression that everybody's got a book in them?
Oh, yes.
You believe that?
I do believe that. I believe it's just a matter of sitting down and just thinking about what happened this occasion. What did they do at the funeral? I have a funny story about
my
mother, my mother's funeral, and we're laughing. So it's a humorous story. That's where you can turn sadness into gladness.
Right. Wait until you hear this one. We've got about a minute left. How do we get this? Where can we buy this book?
Well, you can order it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, or if you know me, you can call me and I've got extra books.
Okay, that's great. And are you going to be doing any book signings or anything like that?
I did one last week in Corbin at the Corbin Library, and I did very well there. Have not set up any book signings yet. I'm the book was just published. We did this hurriedly because I wanted it before Christmas. And so I'm hoping to have book signings, but nothing has been set yet.
Well, let me know if you set any up, and we'll remind the people about that.
Good.
I think it's great. You're a wonderful guest, and I hope you have a great Christmas, and thank you very much for coming and sharing this with
us. And thank you for having me.
You bet. Stay with us.